Welcome to Lugano Peak's Uniting Church online service on Sunday, 14th of February, 2021. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, as well as Valentine's Day. So I would just say happy Valentine's Day for you all. By the way, I'm Irung Kim, the niece of LPUC. Since the last Sunday of March 2020, we provided online service, and today you watch one of them. I was wondering how you found our online service. I really wanted to hear of your feedback or your comment. Actually, before anything else, I really want to connect with you. So if you are willing to get connected with us or simply give your feedback or comment, please email me or leave your comment on our Facebook page or YouTube channel. I look forward to hearing from you. As you see today's setting, this display here, if you like, you can set up your table covered by white clothes with a candle and the Bible, so you may be able to participate in the actions later. As I said earlier, today is called Transfiguration Sunday. See the church lectionary or calendar on the screen. We spend the Advent season preparing for the coming of Christ and then celebrate Jesus' birth during Christmas and Epiphany season. Transfiguration Sunday is about halfway between Christmas and Easter. It reminds the importance of remembering who the Christmas baby was and leads us to begin Lent by remembering what that baby did when he grew up and reflecting the life and ministry of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, I'd like to invite you to participate in the actions with me. God's love shines deep down and all around. We open our ears to hear God's story. We open our hearts to receive God's love. We open our hands to live in God's way. Let us watch God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for this time together and this time to learn about Jesus. Lord, you know us and you call us by name. We come with the reverence to praise and adore you. O God, you have given your beloved Son to be the means by which we may enter into your glory. May we gather as your people, aware of your Spirit's presence, focused on your word, and ready to do your command through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us sing, hymn, or listen to the first song, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Flow river
Today's Bible reading is taken from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 18, and from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. Exodus chapter 24. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in the dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on to the mountain. And he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And now Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God. Today's focus scripture is Mark chapter 9 verses 2 to 9 about the transfiguration of Jesus. What does transfiguration mean? I guess transfiguration is a mighty big word for us to grasp. Do you have any clue or idea that may explain transfiguration to your children or even to any others? Trans means change, and figure means shape or form. So transfiguration simply means a change, something that is changed in an amazing way. On this day, we hear an amazing story about Jesus Christ. Today is traditionally known as Transfiguration Sunday, where we remember that strange event on a hill where Jesus glowed bright and the disciples were confused. No one knows what really happened. But the idea of it is to show that Jesus is someone special. Especially in our gospel story, three disciples, Peter, John, and James, actually see Jesus, changed into who he really is. Jesus was Nazareth, he's the Son of God. He knows important, long-dead people like Elijah and Moses, and he shines. Now I'd like to ask you to close your eyes and imagine. Imagine that you are with Jesus and the disciples on the mountain top. Suddenly you see Jesus shining as bright as the sun, brighter than 10,000 candles. You look up and see an incredible cloud right above you. Then you hear a voice from deep within the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." This is what happened to Jesus. He was transfigured. He was changed. He was still Jesus, but his disciples now knew that he was not just a human being. They knew Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, the story of transfiguration is meant to affirm who Jesus really is. What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? You may take a time to think about that. I guess you may say Jesus is someone who cares, who shows us the way, who heals the sick. Jesus is the Son of God who became a human, lived, suffered, died on the cross, but overcame the death and raised again to give us the eternal life. We will talk more about that later. For many days, even months, Jesus had walked throughout the countryside. He stopped in villages to teach and to heal. People hurried to find him when they heard that Jesus was nearby. By now, he had chosen 12 friends, the ones we call the disciples. Jesus wanted to teach them so they could teach, heal, and help others as Jesus did. They went everywhere that Jesus went. Jesus' message was always the same. God loves you, and God wants you to live in peace, justice, and love. I imagine that Jesus longed for a day when he could relax and be with his 12 friends. Sometimes Jesus went off to be alone and pray. On this day, Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to go with him. You might remember them. James and John were brothers. They, along with Andrew, Peter's brother, were the first disciples that Jesus called to follow him. The four men left their fishing boats and nets to go with Jesus. The other disciples watched as Peter, James, and John were led by Jesus up the side of the mountain. When they were out of sight, the other disciples turned away and found other things to do. The mountain they went up might be Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is a large round hill in central Galilee. When you go there today with a group of pilgrims, you have to get out of your bus and you can take a taxi to the top. They say that God is especially pleased with the Mount Tabor taxi drivers because more praying goes on in the few minutes rushing up or down the narrow mountain road in those cars. Mount Tabor is the traditional site of the Transfiguration, the extraordinary incident which Matthew, Mark, and Luke all relate about Jesus. Actually, we are not very sure that it took place there. It is just as like that. Jesus would have taken Peter, James, and John, his closest associates of Mount Hermon, which is close to Caesarea Philippi, where the previous conversation took place. Mount Hermon is more remote and inaccessible, which is of course why parties of pilgrims have long favored Mount Tabor. From both mountains, you get a stunning view of Galilee spread out in front of you. But Jesus and his three friends were not looking at the view. They had something much more extraordinary to concentrate on, in fact, than many people have found it hard to believe. At the top of the mountain, exciting, special things happened. At the top of the mountain, Jesus looked different. Jesus' face and Jesus' clothes were shining as brightly as the sun. Peter, James, and John put their hands to their faces to protect them from the light. Then all of a sudden, two people were with Jesus. It was as if they came out of nowhere. One was the great prophet Elijah, and the other was the great leader Moses. The disciples had heard the stories in the Hebrew scriptures about them. They were heroes of the faith, but they had been dead for many, many years. Now here they were on this mountaintop talking with Jesus. Moses and Elijah are the two main portions of ancient scripture. One represents the law and the other the prophets. Both were mountain men. They met God on Mount Sinai. Moses in the midst of the cloud and glory, so that his face glowed with a mysterious light. Elijah, when the burdens of his ministry crushed him, yet God gave him assurance and encouragement, as we can find it from the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. Both are in different ways forerunners for Jesus Christ. Moses spoke of a coming prophet like himself, and it is shown how Jesus takes up this mantle of Moses. Elijah was expected by the Jews as road maker for the coming of God to bring reconciliation and peace to the nation. He stands for the dawning of promise, the coming of fulfillment of Israel's hopes. Together, these two great figures bring the witness of the Old Testament to endorse the Messiah of the New. This was an amazing, incredible time. Peter, James, and John stared. They didn't know what to do or what to say. It was also a scary time. What was going to happen next? Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, this is an amazing thing. If you want me to, I will build a tent for Moses, a tent for Elijah, and a tent for you." But before Peter could finish, a cloud of the brightest brightness you can imagine came over the mountain top. From deep in the cloud, a voice spoke, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him." Just as quickly the cloud of brightness was gone, Moses and Elijah were gone, Jesus was no longer shining, the disciples and Jesus were alone on the mountaintop. And the disciples weren't sure what had happened. They looked around. They rubbed their eyes. They shook their heads. They felt a little afraid. Jesus looked at Peter, James, and John. "Everything's fine," Jesus told them. "You don't need to be afraid." They started down the mountain. When they could see the other disciples, Jesus turned to Peter, James, and John, saying, "Don't tell anyone what have happened on the mountain. Not yet." But Peter, James, and John didn't forget what they had seen and what they had heard. Jesus was special, and they were to listen to Jesus Christ. In fact, the scene at the transfiguration, in other words, in transformation and change, offers a strange parallel and contrast to the crucifixion. If you are going to meditate on the one, you might like to hold the other in your mind as well as a sort of backdrop. Here on a mountain is Jesus revealed in glory. There on a hill outside Jerusalem is Jesus revealed in shame. Here his clothes are shining white. There they have been stripped off and soldiers have gambled for them. Here he is flanked by Moses and Elijah, 12 Israel's greatest heroes, representing the law and the prophets. There, he is flanked by 2 robbers, representing the level to which Israel had sunk in rebellion against God. Here, a bright cloud overshadows the scene. There, darkness comes upon the land. Here Peter blots out how wonderful it all is. There he is hiding in shame after denying he even knows Jesus. Here a voice from God himself declares that this is his wonderful Son. There a pagan soldier declares in surprise that this really was God's Son. The mountain top explains the hilltop and vice versa. Perhaps we only really understand either of them when we see it side by side with the other. Learn to see the glory in the cross. Learn to see the cross in the glory. And you will have begun to bring together the laughter and the tears of the God who hides in the cloud, the God who is to be known in the strange person of Jesus himself. This story is, of course, about being surprised by the power, love, and beauty of God. But the point of it is that we should learn to recognize the same power, same love, and same beauty within Jesus Christ, and to listen for it in his voice, not least when he tells us to take up the cross and follow him. Mark, here as elsewhere, highlights the parallel between Jesus and Moses. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and then before completing his task, went up the mountain Sinai to receive the law. He then went up again, after the Israelites had significantly broken the law, to pray for them and to beg for God's mercy. Towards the end of Moses' life, God promised to send the people a prophet just like him and gave the command, you must listen to him. Now as Moses once again meets God on the mountain, the voice from the cloud draws attention to Jesus, confirming what Peter had said in the previous chapter. Jesus isn't just a prophet, he's God's own son, the Messiah. And God is delighted with what he is doing. The word to the disciples, then it's just as much a word to us today. If you want to find the way to God, the way to the promised land, you must listen to him. That is the importance of being in worship each week. That is the importance of sharing in small groups with other believers. And that is the importance of immersing ourselves in the scriptures to guard against being away from the presence of God and getting lost of the way to God and the promised land. We are grateful to be recipients of His grace and commit ourselves again this day to seek in all we do to be close to Him from this day forward. Amen. Let us pray together. Shine your face upon us, O Christ, so that we might see one another as made in God's image. Shine your face upon us, O Christ, so that we might love one another as you have first loved us. Shine your face upon us, O Christ, so that we might remember that the line between heaven and earth is very thin and that eternal life begins now. Shine your face upon us, O Christ, so that we might remember that we are not alone, that you have never left us, but you will return to us in a new way. All of this we pray. Amen. Let us worship God by listening to the second song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thou art mighty, hold me with thy Good morning, church. My name is Josiah, and I'll be leading us all this morning in our prayer for the people. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty, gracious and loving God, we are all gathered here this morning to come to you in prayer as a family, Lord, united by Christ, in Christ and for Christ. We give you thanks for the gift of prayer, and we ask that you may open our eyes so that we may see, open our ears so that we may hear, and open our hearts so that we may receive your message today, Lord Jesus. At this time, Lord, we lift up the concerns of the members of this congregation. We pray for June Ballard, who has decided to go into care. We ask, Lord, that the right place may be found for June, and that she may receive the proper care whilst she is there. We pray for Bob Windham, who is currently in hospital, having tests and receiving treatment under his cardiologist. We pray for peace, strength and patience upon Bob at this time. Lord, I pray for every single member, newcomer in our Lugano Picas family. If there is anyone who is feeling low-spirited or down this morning, I pray for your hands of peace to be upon them, in their minds, hearts, spirit and soul. If there is anyone who is going through some personal hardship, or who has lost a sense of direction, or is in need of a sense of direction, I pray that they turn to you, Lord Jesus, and may they make you their compass, their captain within their lives. Lord, you never said the road would be easy, but you did say that if we wanted to be followers of you, we must pick up our cross and follow you. Lord, for the past 2 years, COVID has brought many challenges amongst us, some physical, some mental, some emotional, some financial, and especially spiritual. We did not know and did not anticipate the rapid changes that we faced ahead of us. It did change some of us, and it certainly challenged us. But what remained the same was that you were always there right beside us. As we woke up in the morning, you were there. As we were getting ready for work, school, and life, you were there. As we all came back from work, school, and life, you were there. And as we got ourselves tucked into bed for the night's rest, you were there. How great is our God! For we sin, but yet, by your grace alone, God, we are saved. Lord, we pray for Reverend Il Wong, for his ministry at Lugano Picas and his family. We are thankful and grateful for the love and the dedication that he has for us, his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We also pray for the church council, its members and chair, Pamela. We also thank you for their commitment, time and commitment. It's not easy making decisions on such delicate issues, but we thank you for the discernment and decisions of the council. We also pray for our church missions, Natalie and her team with Mainly Music, and also Jan and her team with Messy Church. We pray for strength, peace, comfort and love upon them, Natalie and Jan and their team, as they continue with the church missions. We also pray for the various church groups that are run throughout the week. We pray for strength and protection upon those who run them and their team. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for Rob Lewis and the team who organize and distribute the online services every week. We thank you, Lord, for their commitment and hard work to provide with the weekly online services. We pray for Richard and the George's River Presbytery. We thank you, Lord, for the hard work and commitment that Richard and the team have done in looking after the churches within the presbytery. We pray for your comfort, your peace, your wisdom, knowledge and understanding be upon Richard and the George's River Presbytery team. We pray for our leader, Scott Morrison, and his cabinet and his team of experts. We pray that they will turn to you, Lord Jesus, for the wisdom and knowledge as they continue to lead our nation from this pandemic. And we pray that they continue to lean on you for your guidance, Lord Jesus, through it all. Lord Jesus, I pray that as members of the congregation, may we continue to put our focus on you. May we continue to love one another, encourage one another, care for one another, and most importantly, pray for one another. We pray and give thanks for all these things. In your mighty name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
These are a few announcements today. Mainly Music is commencing from tomorrow, on the Monday, 15th of February at 10 a.m. And for more information, please contact Natalie via phone or email. And another family ministry that is Best Church. Best Church will be started soon in a different format. So please tune into this space. Even though the COVID safety requirement was lifted, but to attend the Sunday service at 10:15 a.m. at Lugano Fico Sunaring, everyone needs to register with the bearer bull via phones or email. This is blessing. Go into this week filled with the holiness of God, transformed by the glory of Jesus Christ, glowing with the enthusiasm of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and remain in you always. Amen. This is the end of today's online church. Now, thank you for your participation in today's online service and hope you have a very blessed day and blessed week. See you next week. I got no worries, got no worries.